It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. Or you can chime in on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. The Giants coming off a heartbreaking 27-21 loss to the Chicago Bears last Thursday. Lance did his therapy session on Friday morning. Hopefully everybody had a relaxing weekend. You enjoyed some football over the weekend. Or maybe you just wanted to get away from football. It was a beautiful weather here in New York. Hopefully everyone had an excellent couple of days. Lance, good morning. How was your weekend, buddy?
Well, it was relaxful somewhat to not have football here related to the Giants. So it was nice to see the rest of the league.
Big furniture shopping day for you yesterday.
Yes, we are experimenting a little about how we can doll up a new apartment.
Did you purchase the race car bed yet?
No, not yet. The Transformer sheets are on order.
Excellent.
They're backed up. They're not in stock right now.
Very good. Very good. Now, as for the Giants, obviously some of the players talked to the media on Friday, and some people starting to sense maybe some division in there based on some of the comments Terrell Thomas made. And look, to me, this is just a case of frustration. You walk through that locker room after the game, these guys by and by care. They really do. And look, some people handle adversity differently than others, and they react to pain and disappointment differently. And I really don't think this is a case in point of guys not trying. The last few games, this team's out there trying. They just continue to make the types of mistakes that lose football games.
It's the mental mistakes. You look at each one of these contests, John, outside of the Carolina Panthers team, and I talked about this on Friday. They had opportunities against Dallas. You have that late interception when it goes off the fingertips of Terrell Scott. You're in that game against Denver into the third quarter. Then all of a sudden you give up that special teams touchdown and the defense starts to wear down. You're in that contest against Kansas City. Same thing. Things all of a sudden break open in the third quarter after Dexter McCluster returns the punt for a touchdown. And then you go to the Philadelphia game where you actually had a lead heading into the second half. And then once again, three interceptions leads to more scores for Philadelphia to pad its lead. And the latter game against the Chicago Bears, where it's a back-and-forth contest. Your offense is clicking at least early after those early interceptions. What happens late, the defense hands you back the ball, and you have yet another mishap, another turnover. So if they can put behind them these breakdowns from a mental and physical standpoint, they're very much in these games, but it's easier said than done right now.
Hey, look, you got to stop turning the football over. And if you keep turning it over two or three times every football game, you're going to lose. And these interceptions on Thursday, you know, you can get on Reuben Randall maybe for one of the first two, but quite frankly, I think a lot of them were probably on Eli. The last pass to Brandon Myers would have been a spectacular catch if he would have came down with it, but Eli certainly airmailed that ball to him. It looked like Randall made the right read on that second pick to go deep since the corner squatted in his position. Eli did not make that same read. And on the first play, it looked like he was kind of just rushed by that pass rush, and that threw that entire play out of whack. And look, Eli will be the first one to tell you that he needs to play better, and he does. Right now, Eli Manning's on pace to throw much more than
45.
Is it 45 exactly? I didn't do that math. 45 interceptions.
Not a pretty number.
I mean, I'm no genius, but that's not winning football. So those things have to get cleaned up a little bit if this team wants to take that next step. And you saw some positive steps from the Giants, I think, on Thursday night. On the defensive side of the ball, John Beeson showed you that he can be a starting middle linebacker in this league. And quite frankly, he showed speed on a couple plays that I didn't think he still had in the tank. He played and looked a lot better than I thought he would. I told Giant fans not to get too excited last week when they brought him in. And you know what? Sometimes I'm right when I say things like that, when we were talking about Curry in the offseason and guys like that. But I was wrong. John Beeson can still play this game, and I think he's going to be a very good player for this team at middle linebacker. And you saw the Giants run the ball for the first time all year long, which I thought was a very positive development. They went over 100 yards for the first time. And on that final drive of the game that eventually ended in that Eli interception, they had great balance. They had just as many running plays as they had pass plays, and they ran the ball effectively from start to finish.
Well, that's why they were able to move the ball effectively, I would say, throughout the course of the game. You didn't see multiple three and outs at previous games. And the other addition, you mentioned John Beeson, John. I would say a big reason why they got the running game going, a guy named John Connor, who made his presence felt in this last contest. That has bolstered the running game.
And you put John Connor in the backfield at fullback, you can move Bear Pasco, who's your best blocker at tight end, onto the line of scrimmage, and then all of a sudden you're helping yourself blocking at two positions.
Which is something they have not had present throughout the course of the season since Henry Heinoski got hurt, and you had some tight ends learning all of a sudden the blocking schemes. Everybody's not on the same page. You're not going to run the ball.
And John Connor is a legitimate lead blocking fullback in that Henry Heinoski mold, no question about it. A couple other negatives very quickly. Once again, the defensive line did not get a lot of pass pressure. I thought you had a couple missed tackles on defense on that Tony Fiametta play, for example, where he ran in for the touchdown. Terrell Thomas struggled a little bit, covering on the outside a bit over the course of the game. But I think it was a good sign he was able to play so many plays in this game and his knee was able to hold up. I thought that was a very positive sign from that perspective. The offensive line, I think, continues to improve. We mentioned the run already. Eli Manning, for the most part, got protected pretty well in that game. He was only sacked once. He wasn't under a ton of duress over the course of the contest. So some positives, some negatives. But I think by and large, Lance, the team is showing improvement from week to week. And I know Giant fans don't want to hear that at 0-6, and a loss is a loss. I get that. But you are seeing certain things get better that would allow this team to line up some wins down the road if they can clean up. And the penalties are down too, by the way. They can clean up some of these turnovers. They're playing well enough in the other aspects of the game now where they should be able to win some games coming up here.
Well, when you have 12 penalties, can it get any worse? No. So clearly they clean that up.
Only
right.
4 for 30 yards, I think, in that game, if memory serves me
correct.
Right.
4 for 31.
Yeah.
That was the exact number. The Bears actually had more at 5 for 51. There were a lot of positives that they can build off of. Number one was the running game, and I think that's increased over the last few weeks.
Sure.
I think you've seen the numbers get progressively better, and the offensive line has been more consistent, specifically in the pass protection department, which has been a complete mess since the start of the season. Eli Manning is no longer running for his life game in and game out, so that's certainly a positive. You would hope that that could help clean up the turnovers, because part of the turnovers were a lot of pressure that he was facing.
No question about it. And you wonder, when David Boss is healthy at this point with the progress this offensive line has made, and let's be honest, at 0-6, Cordo's a young guy. Boss is older. Don't you want to see what these young guys have and, you know, what they can do? And then you can decide whether or not you want Jim Cordo to maybe be your starting center next year.
You're almost in a position where you can evaluate players depending on how this season continues out. And it may not hurt, like you said, John, to see what you have in the youth and the depth chart of this offensive line as opposed to bringing back the veterans back who certainly are not 100%. Though Boss, what he spoke to the media last week, seemed to indicate he's eyeing the Monday night game as his return.
And then you can also debate whether or not at some point you want to get a look at James Brewer. At some point, you want to get a look at Brandon Mosley. And those are things you'll have to consider down the road as well. Obviously, you don't want to put Eli in harm's way by throwing out guys out there that aren't ready to play. But at some point, you would like to evaluate some of these young guys to see what you have.
Because you need to determine whether you want to spend money in free agency
right.
this offseason.
And where you want to allocate those funds and where you, frankly, want to use your draft picks as well to improve this team. All right. We've been talking long enough. Let's get to your calls at 201-939-4513. And let's start with D down in Atlanta first. D, good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
We're doing all right, D. What's up?
Just two quick questions. I heard Gary Myers from the New York Daily News this morning. He was saying that he thinks Coughlin deserves to get another chance, but he needs to change defensive and offensive coordinators. He said not likely both because he got 1 year left on his contract, but he said he needs to change both those coordinators because Parafield D hasn't been good for a while now, and Gilbride's offense is pretty stale. What do you guys think about that?
I understand the argument. Here would be my counter-argument. How much longer is Tom Coughlin going to be your coach, right? Let's say he coaches 1 year, maybe two more seasons, okay? If you change coordinators now, whomever the new head coach is going to be is going to bring another new set of coordinators in after that. So then you're looking at Eli being in three systems in 3 years, which to me is never a good thing. If you do want to make a change of coordinator, and I'm not advocating that, I think you have a better argument for, quite frankly, to switch defensive coordinators, considering I think Kevin Gilbride has had a better track record in his time here than Perry Fuel in terms of the defense playing at a high level as opposed to the offense. I think the offense has been more consistent over the last few years. And, look, I understand fans want to make changes, but I don't think if you make a change midseason with either coordinator, it's some kind of magic bullet that's going to make this thing better. I think you make changes now on both sides of the ball, personnel and coordinators and coaching-wise, based on the future. You don't make decisions now that are snap judgments to try to fix things this year, because really at 0-6, you're at the point where it's too late.
Okay, now do you think we need to go ahead and honestly tank and get Clowney out the draft and pair him up with JPP?
Well, I don't think Clowney's necessarily a lock, D. I mean, we're not at the stage where we're going to evaluate college talent, but keep in mind, I don't think he is very animated and excited about still being in college football.
You think?
He has not looked too good to start this season for South Carolina.
For those my ribs.
Who may not be familiar with South Carolina and how he has performed. So, you know, and here's the other thing, D. Pass rush clearly hasn't been good. But
and no one's tanking either, by the way.
No one.
You think Tom Coughlin's going to tank?
No.
If you know anything about Tom Coughlin, he's not tanking.
We use tanking in the NBA. I don't know if we necessarily use that in the NFL, even though there is the race for the first pick. But, D,
I'm looking forward for the Brooklyn Nets season to start.
Oh, John's excited, too. Trust me. He'll be blogging about that any day now.
I'm excited about the New York Knicks, not
the
Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, but he'll be talking more about the Nets this season when it's all said and done.
I don't
mark
think
my
that's
words,
true.
D. But, D, getting back to the Giants, pass rush is a necessity in terms you want to be able to spark this. But is that the biggest priority right now? Do you really think when you look at this team as a whole – and let's say the draft was tomorrow, a pass rusher would be number one on the list?
It's close.
But I wouldn't put it up there as number one. I think they have other issues that they need to shore up.
I like thinking of Beason with JPP and Clowney. Oh, man, that sounds good.
Appreciate the call, D. Thank you, bud.
And, D, certainly appreciate you weighing in. I would say on paper right now, Tuck, Kiwanuka, and JPP looks good, and that hasn't necessarily panned out.
That's paper, too. And next
Clowney and JPP would be on paper,
too. What happens if Kiwanuka and Justin Tucker aren't on the team next year?
Well, that's a different story.
Well, both guys are free agents. So, if neither comes back, pass rusher to me is pretty high on the list. Because if you look at the biggest problems with this team, Lance, and look, you're not using a top, let's say the Giants are in the top seven, just to throw out a number. I think that's fair to say based on what the record is so far. Somewhere in the top five, top seven. Usually you don't see offensive linemen, unless it's a stud tackle, going in your top seven. You just invested a long-term contract in Will Beatty. So I don't see them drafting a left tackle in picks 1-7. And I realize they're a best pick available team, but look, need does come into consideration, especially when you're picking that high. You're not going to pick a running back that high because that's not what you do. Obviously, you don't need a quarterback. Now, if the Giants do happen to get the first or second pick, and people are pining for Teddy Bridgewater, pining for Johnny Football, and you can get a king's ransom to move from 1 or 2 down to even 4 or 5 and get an extra first-round pick out of it, which you can. We've seen that happen in the past. I think you do that in a second. You stockpile picks and you get some talent back. But I think defensive end and pass rusher is right at the top of the list. I really do. I mean, where else are you going?
I think it depends on, like you said, what decisions they make with respect to personnel heading into the offseason. If they have a clear idea, listen, these two guys are not coming back, then we could certainly use a pass rusher. But, you know, they've gone that route recently, you know, in years past. And look at them now, right now. They've stockpiled on pass rushers the last few couple of drafts. And, I mean, has that really yielded them a tremendous amount of results?
Well, it did from 2007 to 2011. Those guys happen to be getting a little bit older now.
I would just point to the fact that I think OC's return is what clicked things into place in 2011. Not so much a rookie. And even looking back, it's the veterans that really have been the difference makers, not necessarily a guy that comes in and all of a sudden puts the team over the top.
I think Jason Pierre-Paul was a big-time difference
maker. Well, he did for that
maker.
One season. Well, though.
Yeah.
Since then, clearly he hasn't been able to build off of his momentum.
It was a Super Bowl season, by the way.
It was. No, I will
just say it.
Well, and
it's
we
kind
still
of important.
We still need to see how DeMontre Moore pans out, whether or not. And granted, DeMontre Moore wasn't a first round pick; he was a third round pick. But you know, the jury's
That's
still
fair.
Out with respect to him. And here's a guy that they've brought in last season who's a pass rusher. So you know, you're going to continue to go that direction each and every season, or are you going to say, you know what, we have other areas that we've struggled in, and who knows? You know, depending on David Wilson's future in the running game. Does the necessity of a running back come into play? Granted, they don't need to take it with the first pick. You use a later pick to take a running back if you wanted to go that route. But I don't know. I just think that there's other areas that right now they can use some shoring up.
And Kiwanuka is 30. He has two more years left on his contract, signed through 2015. So he's likely going to be here next year unless the Giants make a move. But his contract isn't very prohibitive in terms of what it counts against the cap. But Justin Tucker, free agent, and obviously JPP is up after next season. And we'll see what DeMontre Moore. And that's another guy you hope to see more Hankins on the field, see what these young guys can do a little bit. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Ed down in Maryland. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I was trying to talk about two plays over the last 2 weeks. I wasn't able to call in.
Yeah, what do you got?
Because it seems like with Eli Manning, he's getting a major pass for that Bears game. And actually, that was our best game of the season. Every unit played well. The O-line played well. Ground game was good. Defense pretty much held up besides not getting any sacks. All three of those interceptions was on Eli. And the one that really is bothering me, because everybody, all Giants fans, is giving him a pass on it, was that pick six. Giants run opposite routes. So depending on the coverage, the wide receiver has to make the adjustment
right.
Based on what he sees. That cornerback was squatting so hard. That cornerback didn't even backpedal. He was squatting so hard. Eli Manning, three-step drop, and it took three steps and got ready to throw a hook route to that side. If Eli Manning was looking at that cornerback, he should not have thrown the ball. Ruben Randall made the right read and ran the go route, and when you see the replay, he would have been wide open. Possibly would have scored a touchdown.
Yeah, Ed, honestly, Ed, I agree with you. Lance agrees with you, and I think the public and the media, for the most part, has put that interception on Eli's shoulders. I don't think anybody is putting that one on Randall.
I've been hearing most fans and pretty much all the media say that is on Ruben Randall's fault because he's young, he made the wrong read, but I just don't know what is wrong with Eli Manning this year. I mean, to have 15 picks, I mean, he had that all of last year, and to me, that was pretty much like a high number last year. But to be only six games with 15 picks, and for a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback at this stage of his career, in his 10th season, he should not be having these kind of games or making these kind of errors. What is wrong with Eli Manning? And also, I was trying to bring a play from the Philly game. And this is why I say Dave Wilson has to go. He is not a starting running back in this league. Running backs normally come out of college and either have it or they don't. That play from the Philly game that was almost a safety, what was Dave Wilson thinking on that play? Once he got that handoff, he has what they like to that right side for the line, but he decided for something made him stop and turn backwards.
Well, there was a ton of penetration in the backfield on that play, Ed. As soon as David Wilson got the ball, there was a guy right in his face.
Hey, trust me. When you guys watch that replay, please for me, watch that play. If David Wilson had just went straight, he would have had a first down, possibly more. But for something went on in his little head that made him want to stop and turn backwards, that play almost ended up as a safety. So, to me, that play with David Wilson just pretty much wrote him off somehow. He got hurt off of it, and it's just, to me, that just sounds funny. Maybe Giants management buzzed down, told him to get him out of the game. But to me, that was a terrible play with Dave Wilson. So I just want us to go into next season because this season loss, being 0-6, is like, that's a disaster. I just never even thought Giants would even get that down. But next season, we need to make some changes at the running back spot. Linebacker seems to be straight now with John Beeson, but our major point for this call is Eli Manning. What are we going to do about him? Because over the past, four seasons, he has about 60 picks, or I think going on 70 picks. That's just too much. So, I mean, he has to get all the blame for this. When he wins, the Giants all praise him, fans praise him. But now that we're losing, most of these losses are on Eli. And also that pick six from the Cowboys game, that last one that ended all hope, that screen pass that he threw to Scott, he threw it way too early. Had he been a little bit more patient for that pass, that pass would have hit Scott right in his hand, and Scott would have made something happen out of it. So it's been so many games this year. Eli has just cost his game, and the major reason why we're 0-6 is because of him. So
thanks for the call, Ed.
All right, Ed, appreciate it, man. And look, the question he asked is what's wrong with him, and if I had that answer, if Lance had that answer, we'd be having much better, well-paying jobs than we do right now. So I don't know what the answer is, but early in the season, I think pass pressure got to him, forced some mistakes, and I think that was one of the reasons he threw that Darrell Scott screen pass a little bit early. He felt a little bit of pressure. Darrell Scott also turned the wrong way on that screen pass, too, and he didn't turn around quickly enough. That's one. But two, look, he's not played well this year. I mean, I'm not sure where you can go with it. Besides that,
his decision-making has been off. Though I would advise Ed and most Giants fans to not get caught up in the number of interceptions. You really need to look beyond the number.
Play-by-play.
There's a lot of situations where Eli Manning actually may have made a good decision, but it went off of a wide receiver's fingertips, and it wasn't necessarily on Manning. And here's the other thing to take into consideration about that Darrell Scott pass in the Cowboys game. Yes, he did rush it. But let's put it this way. How many running backs have really been able to catch the football this season from Eli Manning? It's been a plaguing issue across the board.
And at that point, Eli Manning's experience getting the timing down with Darrell Scott on those screen passes was minimal. Those guys aren't exactly on the same team in practice and training camp much.
How many passes went off of Brandon Jacobs' chest that we've reviewed this season?
Well, one hit him in the face the other day.
There you go.
That was a good one.
So it's been a lot of issues. And here's the other thing. Darrell Scott's now nursing an injury. So who knows if Eli Manning's got to get used to a new running back if they perhaps bring somebody in.
At what point do they maybe let Michael Cox run the ball a little bit?
Well, this probably is an opportunity to give him the green light, John. 0-6, you might as well see what you have out of him. However, here's the one negative or the one risk that you take. Pass protection's been an issue. He better be ready to pass protect because you may say that this season could potentially be lost.
You don't want to lose Eli.
Exactly. You do not want to put him at harm's way.
No question. And who knows Brandon Jacobs? Remember, he had that big wrap around his leg in the fourth quarter of
Correct.
That game, too. Did he pull a quad, pull a hamstring? We'll see if he's practicing today. I think practice is around 10:30 today. So we'll know that on the website who practice later in the morning. But, look, the Giants got even more injuries to deal with here out of this game. Granted, they have a long time to get ready for this Viking contest, almost a full week and a half to get ready for Minnesota. But still, I mean, whew.
That's a concern, and Andre Brown can't come back yet.
And, by the way, Marcus Kuhn eligible to come off the PUP list. I would not be shocked if we saw him on the practice field this week.
Step in the right direction.
He's looked very good working out on the side, and, boy, that guy's put on a lot of muscle in the offseason.
He's got a sheet of armor.
He really does. He could be a real legitimate player at defensive tackle. I'm excited to see him get back. Another young guy you want to get a look at this year.
And considering they've had some injuries to defensive tackles and haven't gotten a pass rush, maybe he could be somewhat of a spark. And at this point, Giants fans, it may not be too optimistic based on record, but this is at least an opportunity for the coaching staff to get a look at the personnel, evaluate, and see, okay, who's worth keeping around for next season, who's worth getting rid of to maybe bring in some new youth or some new talent.
A lot of people on the line. Let's try to rapid fire through these calls a little bit. Let's go to Jose in New Jersey first. Jose, how are you?
Yes, hello. I'm good. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Jose.
Good morning. I'm just calling. I just wanted to talk about the Giants in the last game versus the Bears.
Sure. What do you got?
Yes, the Giants could have got a touchdown and a field goal and lead by one, but instead they lost the opportunity.
Well, and I think that's what this early season, Jose, has been about, a lot of missed opportunities in every one of these games.
Yeah, and the same was for the in the Eagles game as well.
Well, the red zone hasn't been very efficient in terms of the way that they've had opportunities to punch it in. They've more often than not settled for 3 points versus seven.
And they've missed field goals too.
Correct. Josh Brown, even the limited opportunities that he's had, he hasn't necessarily come through. Look at the Panthers game. The David Wilson touchdown's wiped off the board. You have a chance to get 3 points. Brown misses it. That was a big momentum swing.
So, yes, I think that, the Giants had a lot of turnovers when the game started, like two turnovers when I was watching the game when it started.
Yep.
Against the Bears on Thursday Night Football.
All right, Jose, thanks a lot for the call, buddy.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, Jose.
Yeah, and then you had the two turnovers to start the game, and you were bookended the game with a turnover to end it.
And despite the early woes, they did manage to fight their way back in the game. However, the game ended just how it started, which is lack of concentration, not being on the same page, Eli Manning's decision-making. There are so many factors that you could throw in here. They have yet to put together that complete game. That's what Giants fans and the team is waiting for, the complete game. Consistency through four quarters. You can't just have a flash in the first quarter, flash in the third, and think that you're going to get away with a win. You need to play consistently for all four.
Not the way the league works anymore. These teams are all so close in terms of talent level, you have to play well to win these games. The Giants simply have not played well enough. 201-939-4513. Let's go to UC in New York City. UC, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, I'm a long-time Giants fan, and I don't know why people talk about next year. I don't know how the conversation started. You should be ashamed of yourself. The season ain't over. It doesn't matter if you go 10-6 now, all right, or keep losing a couple more games to get to 10-6. Right? Look at the past. When we won the Super Bowl, we won the last two games just to get into the dance.
Yeah, but you never started off 0-6. Keep that in mind. You often started off 6-2, struggled. But when you start off the season with 6 out of your first 8, you're in a lot better position to make noise later on.
I mean, UC, to put yourself in this situation where you have to win 10 straight games in order to make it into the playoffs, and let's be honest, the way this team's played so far this year, there's no evidence to indicate that's something they're capable of doing.
Looks like we lost UC.
It looks
there.
Like we lost UC.
Bad connection.
UC, call back. We'll put you right back on. We did not cut you off. I don't want you to think that we got rid of you there. But give us a call back. We'll put you right back on. Look, we're not saying that this season is over now. Is the chance of making the playoffs extremely, extremely thin? Sure. And I think the Giants organization have to make certain decisions based on where they are record-wise here to better prepare for next season. Since at 0-6, this season, look, you try to win games, but the chance of making a legitimate playoff and Super Bowl run here at 0-6 are slim to none at this point.
We were talking before we came on the air about the Washington Redskins situation last season. They started off 3-6 and then went on that great run. And we'll try to compile some of the math in terms of each week, where the Redskins sat, how many games they were back. Because right now the Giants are legitimately 3 games back of the Cowboys and the Eagles, who are both 3-3 and will be playing next week for a shot of taking sole possession of first place. But you know, it's very hard to compare one season to another, one team to another. There's so many factors that you need to take into consideration. Just because the Redskins were able to turn things around and go on that big run doesn't mean that another team in back-to-back seasons can pull off the same feat. You know, there's a lot of things that need to go right for this Giants team. That's why the focus should be now get that first win. Once you get that first win, maybe there's at least some positive factors, momentum builder that you can look towards bringing into that Philly game. And then you have the bye, you regroup, you get guys healthy. Andre Brown may return. As John said, Marcus Kuhn comes back into the mix. And then you could start, you know, getting animated about a potential winning streak. But until they get that elusive first victory, it is so premature to think that this team could go on a run. Very hard to get optimistic about that.
201-939-4513. Maybe this guy can be optimistic. Steve's down in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, you got it, man. I'm going to try to shed a little optimism today, and I'm glad to hear everybody seems to be pretty much calmed down, you know, from the beating we've been taking. But, you know, I will shed some optimism, but I will have to say I do kind of agree with Ed. I mean, we have to kind of put the blame where it belongs, you know. Eli is a big part of why we are, not all the reason. You know, where I see it is we need to simplify things, guys. You know, Eli has, it's almost like he has too many weapons at his disposal, and, you know, just doing too much thinking there, you know, way too much. I think we need to, you know, if we don't change coordinators, we certainly need to change the scheme. I'm not saying completely, but to the point where, you know, we're not reading the defense so much, but we're actually just going out and running our routes. I mean, we have way too many weapons out there. You know, and I just think that, you know, all these check downs and worrying about who's doing what and, you know, players not being on the same page, that falls on the coordinator, you know, squarely on Kevin Gilbright, you know, to the point where I just don't, you know, I don't know if it's a lack of practice that they had in the offseason or what, but clearly, you know, these guys are, you know, just trying to do too much out there. And, I mean, we have great players, so it upsets me when I see people start to come down on Reese now, you know, which to me is just absurd. But we've always had the expectations that we could, you know, we could contend for a Super Bowl for the last 10 years.
Yeah, but easily. Steve, one second real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure that now, in 2013, the team still has enough great players to be a Super Bowl-caliber team?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've seen that last week with the balance. You know, like I've been saying, you know, we have to have a balanced attack. As long as we have a balanced attack, our defense is good enough to keep us in there. If Eli wouldn't have made those mistakes, we should have won those games. We should have won, you know. We could have, you know. I'm not going to sit here and – I don't like putting it all on Eli, because the last thing I want to do is shake our, you know, quarterback's confidence any more than what it already is. But I just think that if we simplify things and have a balanced attack, we certainly have the players. You know, I mean, it's easy, you know, obviously what concerns me long-term is our conditioning coach, because we just have way too many injuries. I mean, I think if we go through a three-safety package back then when we have a healthy Stevie Brown and, you know, and, you know, Tron, and now Will Hill is back. You know, I'm not a Mundy fan, but I think our safety play has hurt us tremendously as well. But I think our corners have done pretty good. We just need to get a couple more linebackers and, you know, offensive linemen. But certainly, I think when we're healthy, we have, you know, we certainly have a Super Bowl roster. But I just think that there's been no adjustments made. We do have some key injuries, and it's up to the coordinators to see where we're struggling and, you know, where to bring more balance. And I don't think Kevin Gilbride has changed a single thing. So it pains me to see Eli in this position, because I don't think he deserves it. I think the coaches need to make some changes to where he's most effective. And, quite frankly, do you see any change being made? I mean, it seems like Joe Bright, you know, had more balance last week. I think we were 26-26. You know, correct me if I'm wrong.
No,
but
you're
right. I think the offense played pretty, you know, good. I mean, you know, we lost the game, you know, for obvious reasons. But the fact was, you know, we were in there. And as far as Chicago, you know, they have some pretty good receivers. So to sit here and blame it on our defense, they did their part. You know, I think we need to shore up our special teams again and, you know, just change our scheme a little bit offensively. It's obvious Eli's struggling, but why is he struggling? I think they're just trying to do too much, and they don't really have the time they need with all the weapons.
All right, Ed.
You know, I mean.
Thanks for the call, buddy.
Hey, listen, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call, and, you know, of course, great show. I'll be listening off air, guys. Thanks.
Sorry, Steve. Sorry about
thanks
that.
Thanks so much.
You mentioned that in your phone call. That's why I got Ed in my head. Sorry about that. Look, and Ed, Steve always calls about the coordinators every week and Gilbride and all that stuff. But look, to me, it's the job lands of the offensive coordinator put the offense in a position and his players to make plays. Eli Manning had a chance to make a play at the end of that game with Brandon Myers to win it. They didn't make the play. Eli Manning, as the caller mentioned earlier in the show, I forget who it was, if him and Randall make the same read on that second interception, Randall has a play down the field for a touchdown. You're putting these guys in the position to make plays. They're simply not making them. And let's not take the defense fully off the hook for this game. Did they do the job in the second half, in the fourth quarter, getting the ball back to the offense on two separate occasions? No doubt about it, and give them credit for that excellent work. They also allowed 24 points in the first half. 300 yards of offense and didn't force the Bears to punt once. That's not very good. Now, did they stop him on that fourth and goal? Sure. Big play, no doubt about it. Has the defense been more consistent and better than the offense this year? Also true. But they've had problems in some of these games, especially late in a lot of them, which have helped cost the Giants some of these victories as well.
And it wasn't as if the Bears had good short field situations in this contest. Those scoring drives were very lengthy. When you look at the recap of things, the Bears often sometimes had to go all the way from like their 8-9 yard line. So I understand that the defense, you're right, John, it did give the ball back to the offense in the fourth quarter. But if you look at their resume from the first through the third quarters, it wasn't necessarily that pretty in terms of getting consistent stops. The first quarter, they weren't that lengthy in terms of their drives. You go to the second quarter, I'm bringing up the play-by-play right now. They got a touchdown pass to Marshall, the first one. In that drive, they went 9 plays, 53 yards. I mean, they really wore down this defense. It wasn't as if they went for the quick bomb, and that drive started at the 20. The next field goal that they got, I count that as at least a scoring drive. They started from the 20. They got all the way down to the Giants' 22. You know, they were able to move with ease down the length of the field, whether they settled for a field goal or they got to a touchdown.
Well,
a lot of lengthy drives.
The Bears' second touchdown in the first half, or they went all the way from their own 14-yard line and scored. It was an 86-yard drive.
It was one lengthy drive after another. Even the field goal drives, John, that you look. And Gold had 40-yard field goals, 52-yard field goals. But, you know, they went 88 plays, 60 yards. The defense was on the field more often than not.
And Weatherford did a good job punting in that game on Thursday, too. So
he was tested.
201-939-4513. Charlie's in Portland, Maine. Charlie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, bud?
How are we doing, Charlie?
Hey, I'm doing good. Hey, I think the Myers tight end experiment should be over. Eli doesn't have that guy he could count on when he's in trouble to throw to. When was the last time Eli only threw one ball to his tight ends? And that one was, you saw what happened. I just don't think he's a good outlet valve for Eli. And you look on the other side of the game, because Bennett played pretty well, even though he was injured. And I think that is a position that we really need to focus on, the Giants need to focus on. And if I was the Giants, I would bench Myers, put Donnelly in. Like I said again, if Jake Ballard's available, bring him back. I hope they bring a bunch of people in this week. They need a pass rush. They got, which this is another thing. I just didn't understand why Trotteau, they released him, waived him. And they had three defensive ends, and one of them, Moore, was injured.
Well,
I don't even know
four.
If he played in the game.
Well, you have Kiwanuka, Tuck, and JPP, and then the fourth guy would have been Moore.
Plus, you have Cullen right. Jenkins, who could play two positions. Keep that
right.
in mind, Charlie.
That's a good point,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. But so they need a pass rusher. They need somebody else in the mix. And I'll say it again.
DeMontre Moore's the guy. DeMontre Moore's
yeah,
the guy
well,
that has to get healthy and help.
I mean, they don't need to be playing that guy enough.
Well, he's hurt. He's hurt again. He hurt his hamstring.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So why do you cut another defensive end? I mean, bring Romo back. He is a
Charlie, they had to cut Trotteau because they have 18 million guys hurt in the defensive backfield.
They needed a running back.
Well, you know what? They have a position there, and I'll say it again, three quarterbacks. They didn't need three quarterbacks. They didn't have to cut him. They could have cut one of the quarterbacks, get rid of Painter, and they have a position.
Hey, look, but Charlie, it isn't as though Justin Trotteau, the first five games of the season, was bringing consistent pressure either. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, I know. I didn't like him anyway. I thought Ajomo was a better player. But I'm just saying, the consistency of their roster moves and what they do has been terrible this year. But I think Myers' situation, he just is not – Eli doesn't feel comfortable with him. Or he would have passed to him a hell of a lot more than one time in the game. And in a critical situation, he throws it to him, you know?
Hey, look,
and,
you're fair.
That was kind of on
fair.
Eli a bit. He overthrew it. But I think Myers was supposed to be five more yards down the field. And he wasn't. So I think, you know, I hope they bring a bunch of people in. And can the Giants go on a run? Yeah, but they got to win their first game, and they got to play clean games. They can't – they're not a good enough team to have 2 or 3 turnovers. They're a team that maybe can get away with one. And, you know, and like years in the past, the Giants could overcome turnovers because they had such a great team, but – this is not the year for that. They got to play clean. But there was a lot of positives. I mean, look at their running game last week. I mean, Jacobs, you know, they brought him back. And what did he do? They finally started him and said, it's on you. And what does he do? He produces. And that's the kind of stuff that they haven't been doing. They haven't been doing that. And when they did, Jacobs produced.
Well, Charlie, let's also see if Jacobs is able to take that game and survive without suffering an injury. Remember, he came out of that game with an injury. We'll see how good he is to go on Monday night.
Yeah, I know, and I totally understand that. What's going on? Is Wilson pretty much through for the year, do you think, or has that not been confirmed yet?
Wait and see. He's looking to get a second opinion if reports are accurate, and we should know something a little bit more later this week.
He's week to week at this point. That's his status.
Thanks, Charlie.
Okay, hey, guys, have a great day.
Hey, appreciate
Charlie.
The call.
Thanks so
man.
Much.
201-939-4513.
You brought up that point about Brandon Jacobs. What is he going to do now that he had a good game? You do not want to attend to the Ramsey's Barden school of thought, which is you have your good game against Carolina, you suffer an injury, and then you're never to be seen or heard from again. You know, that's been sometimes the troubling aspect of this Giants team. They've had bright spots from guys, and then what happens? They get hurt, and then you don't see another contribution.
Well, and that's the risk, too. I mean, Brandon Jacobs hadn't gotten 20 carries in a game. I didn't go back and figure it out, but did he even have 20 carries in a game in 2011? Did he have 20 carries in a game that year? Bradshaw was the starter. Jacobs was only a bit guy that year.
You know, that's a good point. I think his season high, if I'm correct, may have been 19. It was the Dallas game. I did mention this in the pregame. I don't know if that was his season high or that was the last time he had double-digit carries.
Let's take
a look here. It was definitely 2011, I believe, against the Cowboys in December. I think he had a 19-carry game. But if you bring up the game log, we'll get a better idea.
All right, I'm going to go to 2011 here. And how many carries did he had? 22 against the Bears?
22, yeah.
His high for 2011, he had 18 twice, 19 once. So, very good, Lance. You can pat yourself on the back there.
I was waiting for that, so thank you.
Go back to 2010. Jacobs' high carry for that year was 14. So we're going to go back to 2009. La-dee-dee, la-dee-da. He probably had 20 carries in one of the 2009 games, I would imagine. Yeah, he had 20. So the 22 is his most carries in a game since September 27, 2009, when he had 26 carries against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he had 21 carries in two other games that season.
Been a long time.
It's been a while.
On the flip side, though, didn't get a lot of playing time with San Francisco, and his last season with the Giants wasn't one where he was expected to be the starter. So his legs haven't been
fresh leg theory.
I'm not saying it's completely fresh, but compared to other running backs, John, you can't overlook the fact that he hasn't been utilized as much. One other point real quickly that I just wanted to piggyback off of our good friend Charlie's point. He mentioned that they've got to play clean football.
You guys are getting along way too
long. We are.
Long
we're making
it's
some
very
strides.
Disappointing.
Well, I'm letting him maybe get into trouble with you a bit.
I wanted the arch nemesis, and now you guys are friends. Unless Charlie's just lying in the weeds waiting to strike one day.
You never know.
I hope
and
so.
It could happen anytime soon. He's on full alert.
Very disappointed.
But he was mentioning that they got to play clean football,
yeah.
And we're talking about that the Giants need to prevent themselves from getting in positions where they turn over the ball. How about the defense getting some turnovers?
Great point.
Zero the last two games combined. This was an opportunistic defense last year. Stevie Brown ring a bell?
Tom Rock made a great tweet just about this a second ago. The Giants are still last on defense on sacks per pass play against and percentage of passes intercepted. And I think those two are related because what happens when guys throw bad passes is often because they're pressured by the defensive line.
And quarterbacks are not comfortable. Quarterbacks have been comfortable recently.
And has Eli been comfortable this year? Generally not. Why do you think he has a lot of those picks?
Go hand in hand.
Throws everything out of rhythm and puts the whole offense into flux. 201-939-4513. John's down in Florida. Good morning, Johnny.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, bud?
Doing good, John. What you got?
Nothing. Just wanted to kind of touch on the Brandon Jacobs thing.
Sure.
I think it's finally good to see a running game from us. And the other thing that seemed to look up is our linebackers. I think the John Beeson pickup was actually pretty good.
Yep.
His first game playing for us, he played, you know, majority of the game, and I think did really good. What was it, like 11 solo tackles?
He played really well.
Yeah, he did a really good job. The one question I have for you guys this morning was I read something about a lot of teams contacting the Giants interested in a trade for Hakeem Nicks. Wanted to know what was going on there.
Now, I know a lot of people have tweeted us about that, too, and I understand why people would think the Giants would have interest in trading Hakeem Nicks, but here's the trick. The Giants, based on what Nicks has done this year, and he's been pretty healthy the whole year, and when he's been single covered at least the last 2 or 3 weeks, he's been able to beat that single coverage and be a real weapon for the Giants. Now, has he been perfect this year? No, he's had a couple of drops, things like that, which are disappointing. But remember, even if they don't want to sign him to a long-term contract, you can franchise him next year for a very reasonable number, probably around $10 million for a season, and you keep him one more year, you see how healthy he can stay, and then you can make a decision the year after that. So for that reason alone, that they can franchise him and keep him around, I don't think they're going to jettison and trade Hakeem Nicks. Because, frankly, I don't think you can even get a one for him in a trade because a team, much like the Giants, would have to make a decision on him as a free agent after the season's over. So I don't believe they're going to trade Hakeem Nicks in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, let's hope so because I don't see anyone on our roster right now that can fill that number one receiver slot on the outside like he can.
Well, besides Victor Cruz, obviously, you want somebody else out there next to him.
Well, yeah, but we got to be able to rely on someone else. I mean, Reuben Randall's not going to be able to fill that gap, and Lewis Murphy, the guy that we picked up, has been injured, and he hasn't really produced anything, even when he has been on the field for us. So,
thanks, John.
Appreciate the phone call, John. And the other thing to keep into consideration here is the fact that last season when Nix is hurt, the rest of the offense struggled. So, you know, Akiem Nix may not be 100%, may not be the most, you know, exciting, elusive wide receiver out there that's going to really catch the defenses off guard. However, his mere presence on the football field opens things up for Victor Cruz, opens things up for Lewis Murphy, Brandon Myers, whoever is out there lining up opposite him. You take him out of the equation, does Victor Cruz get as favorable matchups as he would, you know, if Nix weren't on the field? So the type of thing you need to think about.
No question. And slowly, Nix is starting to look more like his old self as the season has gone along.
That's important. That was the big missing link last season. You did not have him 100%. You did not have him on the football field. Victor Cruz was getting double teamed. Victor Cruz was not putting the type of numbers that he was putting up when you had two healthy wide receivers. So it's easy to say, well, we get good value for Akiem Nix now. We know we're not going to give him a long-term contract. That's fine. Who's filling his void? Who's going to come in that's going to draw attention away from Victor Cruz?
And remember, Randall's shown you some stuff that makes you think he could become that guy, but he's not ready yet. Still way too many mistakes.
Well, the other thing that I brought up on Friday, John, I was actually curious what you thought about it, the play where Randall gets the football, slips, and then just bashes the football down into the ground. I mean, that's a mental mistake. I'm sorry. That's inexcusable.
It's stupid play. Stupid play.
You have to put those things behind you. You have to be able to play through them.
No question about it, and that could have been a fumble. I mean, luckily,
should have been a fumble if the rule wasn't changed.
Luckily, the refs and the NFL, rather, had made that rule change where you give yourself up. But that's a chance you just shouldn't take. There's no reason to put the ball in harm's way like that.
And the defender doesn't touch you. Continue the play. I mean, you have an opportunity to pick up more yardage. Don't give up on the play.
201-939-4513. We have three callers on the line. We'll take these three. Lance and I will fight about our picks for a second as he tries to take wins away from me this week. The second week that he's running the thing, he tries to cheat. And we'll get to that. But first, let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Len.
You know, we're really not out of it until you get to 8 losses. I guess that's the good news this morning for me, you know, as I look at the standings. But, wow, this is a team playing badly. It's hard to lose 6 games in a row in the NFL. It's just hard to do it. I mean, this team is just playing badly. Now, like the fella from D.C., I'm not ready to say this is a bad team playing badly. I think we got some players on this team. If I'm wrong about this and he's wrong about this, there were a heck of a lot of experts out there on ESPN, NFL Channel, all those magazines, all those newspapers around who were forecasting who was going to go to the playoffs, who all had the Giants in the playoffs and winning 10 games. So, you know, if they want to backtrack off of that, that's fine. If they want to make jokes about the team, that's fine. But the bottom line is there were a heck of a lot of people out there, way, way, way in the majority, who thought this team had the players to get to the playoffs. And,
yep.
And I think so, too. They're just playing badly.
Yeah, but, Len, now you almost have to reassess that. And here's the reason.
Well,
these problems
right
aren't – Len, these problems are not unique to this season. These same things happened the last 6 or 7 games of last season, too, and that's the scary thing. At one point, is this not an aberration, and is this what this team is?
I understand, and I'm hanging right on the edge with that. I'm pretty close to saying bad team playing bad.
Right.
Right now, I'm just willing to say this is a team that's playing badly.
Fair enough.
Again, 6 in a row is, you know, is really, for me, it's. I mean, I'm stunned. I can imagine how top management is thinking. If we're angry and frustrated and stunned by all this, it's probably magnified 10 times at the Quest Center. And I'm not talking about inside the locker room. Look, just keep playing the right player. Whoever we've got at our disposal on the 53, just keep playing the better players. And you know, and the better players amongst that group, our core players, have got to play better, and indeed we're going to win some games. I can't even look at the coaching. I just don't think it's there. I know there's a lot of people are going to make fun of me. They're probably tweeting right now. I just don't think it's the coaching. I don't think it's the game plan. Look, we tweaked the game plan last week. That was a different game plan, offensively and defensively. Yeah, we got some help from Beeson, but it was a different defensive game plan, and it was different offensively, too. We were short. You know, these guys just have to play better. I mean, come on. It's on the guys in that locker room. That's where I am this morning. And I'm also, for me, hey, it's not over yet. Till you get to 8. But even then, you put your best players out on the field. This isn't training camp. It's not training camp. I don't want to see guys who the coaches don't think can play just for the heck of putting them out there. I want my best players on the field right up till the end of game 16, whether we're 0-15 going into 16, God forbid. That's the situation.
Well, but Len, don't you think the evaluation period is important if you get to that stage where it's week 14, week 15, you know you're mathematically out of it? Don't you think they need to at least give these youngsters an opportunity so they can determine whether or not it's worth keeping them around or parting ways?
I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. This is what I think the code is in the NFL. Once that season starts and you're a starter, you're going to be a starter. And if you get hurt, you're coming back and you're going to start. That's the code. If you don't do that, guys, if you don't do that, these guys are going to say, what am I putting this at? What am I putting? Why am I working so hard here? Why am I putting my body on the line? I mean, you got it. You make this team from February. You make the 53 from February 1st until September. That's where you earn your spot. Michael Cox, that's where you earn your spot. I think you have to do it that way. This isn't preseason. It's about wins and losses. You got to put your best players on the field for 16 weeks.
Well, no, Len, that's true. But let's say you're sitting there at week 14, you're 3-10. At what point do you say maybe the veterans aren't our best players? They're the guys that got us to 3-10. Maybe these younger guys can do better.
You know what we do in week 15? We play the best players we have on that team.
Right, and that's fair, but that's my point. If you're 3-10, Len, maybe the guys that have been playing aren't your best players because you're 3-10.
This is why I don't coach in the NFL. because if I'm the coach, I put the guys I think are my best player. I'm not playing favorites now. Understand, I'm not playing favorites.
Right.
But I'm not putting a Mosley and a Brewer in just to see what they can do. This isn't college. Brewer's off of scholarship. This isn't scholarship. You're not going to play because you got a walk-on behind you. You know, you got a walk-on that's playing better than you, but the coach is afraid to play the walk-on because we got a draft choice here. You know, because we got a scholarship guy here. Brewer's got to learn, and Mosey's got to learn, this is a profession. The best players play, and you earn that in that offseason. It's not scholarship anymore. The frat parties after the game, that's not what this is about. I think you get to game 15 and you're 3-11. Who's ever the best players on the 53 will give us the best chance of that win. You wanna start evaluating this roster January 2nd. That's where we start evaluating what's going on. Up to that point, play the best guys.
Thanks for the call, Len.
Let's win a game. This is just unbelievable.
We will talk to you later in the week, bud.
All right, Len.
Thank you.
201-939-4513. A couple comments and questions from Twitter. John Grathole hopes Beeson, can come in and take charge of this defense, get them playing with some fire. V. Fontana, losing the middle killed us. Andre Brown, Hanoski, Boss, Connor Brown. It's like catcher, pitcher, second base, and center field in B-ball, in baseball. Carlos Colon, listen, without Nix, Cruz doesn't get his deal, period. He's a legit X receiver. And that's Jerry's baby from the draft. I don't disagree with that at all, Carlos. I think that's a good point. Assuming Nix is healthy, which is right now he is, you just worry about giving a long-term contract to a guy that has been constantly banged up. And let's see what else.
Especially when
here.
You need more money to spend on other areas. Keep that in mind, too. You have to be fiscally sound at this point.
No question about it. 201-939-4513. Joe is in North Carolina, and we have two North Carolina calls to close out our show. Charles will be last, but Joe, you're up first. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. How are you doing?
What's up, bud?
I got a statement about trading Eli and stockpile draft picks. When we drafted Eli, we were in the playoffs. We were in the playoff hunt when we had Warner. And for some reason, they made a decision to put him in after the bye, and we only won one game.
Yeah, Joe, let me tell you. You know what? If I can go back in time and
– you want to cut me off. But let
no,
me
I don't want to cut you off, Joe. I'm going to let you talk as long as you want. But you're right. If I can get in my DeLorean and go back in time, I would stop this two Super Bowl championship Eli Manning era before it began. I think that's exactly what every Giant fan would do.
Yeah, you know, but when we won those Super Bowls, that was not – you're going to say it was Eli, but that was defense. That was defense that won those football games.
The first one was defense. The second one was a lot more Eli.
And the second one was defense.
No, it wasn't.
They gave New England 17 points.
How'd they get there? How many points did they score against Atlanta? How many points did they score against Green Bay in the playoffs that year?
Yeah, but look what we did. The defense stopped Atlanta. They stopped Green Bay. Defense wins championships. Offense wins football games.
So how come if you look at the starting quarterbacks on the last five or six Super Bowl teams are all top 10 quarterbacks?
Look at the 86 team.
That's 30 years ago.
But it was defense. Football hasn't changed as much as you think it has.
No, football has changed a lot.
No, it just changed with passing. But defense. Defense won the 86. Defense definitely won the 90 game. But Buffalo was a high-powered offense, and we held them to 19 points.
No, that's true. Well, Joe.
And when we drafted Ryan Nassib, the Giants felt that he was a late first round, early second round pick. This season is almost over. Like, play him. See what you got, because it wouldn't hurt to sit Eli down to see what he's doing wrong.
Well, but I don't think Ryan Nassib at this point is the right answer, Joe. I understand your point about how, if you look back at the previous Super Bowls, yes, the defense did have a big role in that. I'm not going to deny that.
And again, much more so in 2007 than 2011. Look, Eli was a young quarterback in 2007. He managed the game despite the big game-winning drives and the great game he played against Green Bay. That was more defense and other people than it was on Eli's shoulders completely.
In 2011, it was more of a combination of both. However, OC's return was a big reason why they made that playoff run. The pass rush got back. They shut out Atlanta. They only allowed that 2 points.
No. Giants are the 27th ranked defense in football in 2011. 27th!
Well, no, but look up. We don't have the numbers for the playoffs, though, in 2011. That I'd be curious to see.
Yeah, but look at the defense, what they did in the playoffs.
They
the 49ers.
But then again,
they shut them down.
And Joe,
they shut them down completely.
Joe, you're right, but they needed Eli to compete with Green Bay in that contest. They needed Eli to put some points up against San Francisco. It wasn't solely, you know, the Niners got on the board in that contest. It wasn't as if the Giants were locking them down in both of those contests. That's why I said it's fair to look at 2011 more of a combination of both. You want to give 2007 more leeway in terms of giving all the credit to the defense, that's fine. I'll agree with you there. 2011, more of a combination of both.
In the playoffs, the defense stepped up, Joe, and played extremely well in the postseason. I'm not going to argue that. But without the offense and Eli Manning, you're not in the playoffs because the defense in the regular season was terrible.
And if...
Is that fair?
If Romo, I call him Romo. If Romo didn't overthrow Austin, we weren't in the playoffs.
Well, that's true. And is that on the offense or the defense?
Well, that one was on the defense. That was on the defense.
There was an awful lot on the defense that year, Joe. An awful lot on the defense. Eli carried that team in the regular season in 2011. Absolutely carried them. The defense in the regular season was terrible.
It was one fourth quarter comeback after another.
This Giant team reminds me of the team of the 70s. I'm a Giant fan for 55 years. And I've been through some really, really bad times with the Giants.
Yes, sir.
Really bad times. And I've been through some good times with the Giants back in the 50s. But that's in the 50s. The game was different then. The game was smash-mouth football back then compared to this today.
Well, but Joe, let's get back to your point before we let you go. You mentioned that the Giants should have reconsidered the plan to bring Eli Manning in when they had Kurt Warner as their quarterback. So if they would have went down your path, who's the quarterback right now? Where are they turning? Who's under center?
No, I'm not saying I'm saying they put him in with no experience. They put him in to see what we had, okay? And they felt that they had a good quarterback, even though he only won one game.
Oh, so Joe,
the playoff hunt.
The comparison you're making then is Eli of today is like the Kurt Warner of 2005. Is that the comparison you're trying to make?
No, the comparison I'm trying to make is see what you drafted this quarterback. See what you have. See what you have.
Well, you could do that
because
in week 15 or week 16, Joe.
And then you feel that you have, and the Giants must feel that he's a good quarterback because they drafted him. So see what you can stockpile pick, because you know there's going to be a lot of people interested in Eli.
Thanks
and
for the call.
You can stockpile draft picks.
All right, Joe. Thanks a lot for the call, pal.
Right.
Have a good one.
It's one thing to evaluate Ryan Nassib.
You're
later
not
this
benching
season.
Eli Manning not, exactly. for Ryan Nassib late in the year. I don't care if you're 0-14. It's not happening. Eli's the starting quarterback.
Well, it's not like Kurt Warner, where Kurt Warner was done and didn't really have many years left in the tank.
Or at least that's what people thought. He ended up going
to
the Super Bowl.
He did go to Arizona. You're
but
right.
At that point, they thought Kurt Warner was at the end of his career.
But Eli Manning is in his young 30s. You're still going to invest plenty of time in him. It's not as if you're going in a different direction at this point.
And our fearless leader, Don Sperling, makes a great point that Kurt Warner really reinvigorated his career when he started wearing that glove on his right hand. When he was with the Giants, he had all those thumb problems. He could barely grip the football. He was a fumbling machine. And he couldn't play in the cold weather because of that, too. So all of that was a big factor. And if Eli's healthy, he's the quarterback. And Ryan Nassib, Joe, trust me, watching him in training camp and watching him throughout the summer, he is not ready to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's not. Trust me, he's not. If he was, Curtis Payton wouldn't be here. Because if Ryan Nassib was ready to be a backup, Curtis Painter wouldn't be here. He's not even ready to be a backup. That means he's not ready to be a starter. 201-939-4513. I'm happy Charles can level us out here to close out the show. Charles, what can you say about your fellow North Carolina native?
What the heck was Joe talking about? I'm confused, man. Look, everybody want to forget about that game against Green Bay when it was Eli against Brent Favre.
One of the
Eli
best games I've ever seen.
Had a great game that game.
Yep.
Come on, man. What are we talking about here? I don't even know what Joe was talking about, man. Eli, it took a team effort to win both them Super Bowls. Do we forget about the Tyree catch and throw? Eli getting out of the grass in the Super Bowl? I mean, it took a team effort on both sides to win both Super Bowls. I just wanted to say that before we get into it. A few callers before kind of answered my question, but it was about I was making a comment in about the offensive defense, and I was going to make a question about the Hakeem thing. You pretty much answered it.
Okay. What else you got?
My thing about the Hakeem, I'll finish it up with, I'll finish that point up with, I feel like I know for a fact, I'm from Charlotte, where Hakeem's from, the dude loves the Panthers. That's the team he grew up with. He loves Steve Smith. He idolized Steve Smith. Rumors have it that he really wants to be a Panther. There's probably a little truth to that. He wants to come home. This is where his family is. With that being said, I wouldn't mind trading him if, like I said, you could answer my question, because I didn't know, would it be feasible to franchise him next year? See, the way you put it, I would go ahead and franchise him for one more year to see if we can get something long-term done, if it's only going to cost $9, $10 million. Because that's probably what he's going to get yearly anyway.
Right.
Long as he stays healthy. I'm down with that. So, yeah, you answered my question, man. But I let me speak about the offense and the defense.
Sure.
And the coordinators. I think that, and I mentioned this last week, Friday, I feel like that both sides of the ball need to get more simplified. All this exotic stuff that Perry Few is calling. Come on, man. We don't need this three safety stuff. We don't need Will Hill and Mundy and Roll all that out there at the same time.
Well, honestly,
that's man up.
Yeah, but Charles, the problem right now is that there's so many cornerbacks hurt. You almost have to run those three safety packages out there, and they're really using Roll as a cornerback at this point once again.
I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that. That was my next point. I don't want Roll at the cornerback position. I want him at his natural safety. Well, he was naturally a cornerback, but he's transitioned over to a safety, and I want him at that position and staying at that position. Him lining up on the nickel, man, that dude's getting burnt this year. I'm just going to be honest with you. He's getting beat. He got beat, I think, out of eight passes Thursday night. He got beat seven of them. The guy caught the ball. I don't want him in that position. If we have to bring, McBride, James, man, be down, it's next man up. Let's quit trying to do this exotic. Well, we're going to fix it with putting Roll on the slot. No, that's why you got James. That's why he made the team. That's why McBride made the team. That's why Terrell Thomas made the team. They're quarterbacks. You got to play them. I mean, they made the team. They know the playbook. Play them. Let's get out of – I'm tired of this exotic. Oh, we're going to get cute and exotic, and we're going to let Will Hill roam the field. No, I think Will Hill should be a starting safety. I think Rose should be the starting safety. I think he's – in two games, he's outplayed Mike.
Charles, real quickly, not to cut you off, you know, Antoine Roll has plenty of experience as a corner. That was his natural position when he arrived in this league. So it's not as if you're experimenting so much out of the realm. Roll does have experience as a corner when he was with Arizona.
Right. But he was he's bulked up. He's not as fast as he was.
That's fair.
When he was, he's a safety now, man. I mean, with his size. And technique-wise, he hasn't practiced cornerback technique like that. He probably practices a little bit more often now. But, man, that we're talking about a whole technique and a whole different mindset at the two positions. I'd rather see his mindset and his body has changed over to a safety. So I get what you're saying. He has experience. He has enough experience to plug him in right there. But as you see, he's getting beat. I think that, 4-3, man up. I mean, you got Beason now. I said last week. I knew Beason was going to come in and be the star of the show because I know how Beason is. I've seen him play with the Panthers, man. He's not an outside linebacker. That's why he looked so bad in Carolina, but he wasn't going to beat out Kegley. That dude's a monster. So
right. With
that being said, Beason, beautiful, man. I loved it. I'm glad that was a smart trade by Reese. Here's another thing, man, before I get to Gilbride. We got to get off Reese. Every team has salary cap. He only can do what he can do with the money he got.
Yeah, but Charles, but you have to make some better use of your mid-round draft picks, which the Giants have not done the last few years.
Well, I'll say this, and I looked at the – we have to compare it to some other teams too, man, because just to break down the Giants and say that, man, that's a lot of turnover in the NFL with a lot of teams, man. And then you can say, hey, well, yeah, he's not – the middle rounds have not been that good, but then, you get lucky with the Cruz. You get lucky – I'm going to give Jerry Reese a pass, man, because you know what? He's doing the best, I think, of what we got going on. As far as the offense, it's the same thing, man. We talked about it. Instead of all these sight reads and sight adjustments and, we're gonna adjust based off what the defense is doing, I think that Eli and my receivers and Gilbride can say, look, this is your route. This is the route you're in. We're not adjusting. We're not doing anything that way. When Eli gets back in his three-step drop, now it's time for him to be a quarterback and go through your progression. You know what the routes are going to be. There's no confusion. If you're not there, then it's somebody's fault. But it's not going to be this thing where, well, it was a combo. You know, they really wasn't on the same page, and they thought we was going to do this, and he thought he was going for a post route. He thought he was – it needs to be, hey, you're supposed to run a slant. You're to play the slant. You should have ran a slant, but you didn't. Or it'll be on someone, or it'll be a bad throw, or what have you. But it needs to get to where there are routes to be ran, there's no adjustment, and Eli's going to have to find the open receiver.
All right, Charles.
That's it.
Thanks for the call, bud.
Hi, man.
All right, Charles.
A couple of different things he touched on. One, I think one thing we'll see next week is more blitzing out of the Giants' defense. He mentioned about Prairie Fuel scheme to make up for some of that. Have you noticed our man down in North Carolina, Joe, was set off with a firestorm on Twitter with our couple of Stu and Wes starting to go at it with the other fans there.
Well, because those are the two that in particular are very critical of Eli Manning.
Correct.
So when anybody calls up that is critiquing Eli Manning, they jump on that bandwagon, which is the normal trend that occurs in Twitterland when it comes to Big Blue Kickoff. And by the way, Charles, I think, out of North Carolina, has a conference call with Steve and DC every week after each and every show because the both of them seem to be backing the plan that Kevin Gilbride needs to simplify the offense. There is some connection there, I see.
You think?
I believe so. We'll have to look into that.
Good point. 201-939-4513. Great job on the phones, everybody. Great job on Twitter as well. Thanks for calling in and chiming in over the course of the day. And, Lance, why don't we go through our picks real quick here?
There's still some questions regarding the picks, so it's really premature to throw out the results here.
Well, count me as 5-1, baby, because that's what I went.
We have to go back to
I have my document
Tuesday's
that has me picking it.
To determine
right
whether
here.
Or not I wrote down that you picked the Saints.
Well, you're wrong. That's nice.
We will go back to the audio. I'm going to listen to the show
right here
after we go off the air. Well, I also write them down. It's amazing how you didn't want to do this job anymore, but you still take the time to write down your own picks.
Well, unfortunately,
have you noticed that?
I thought Lance would be able to do it competently. Clearly,
excuse
I was
me,
mistaken.
Do you not call this competently? When did you go this direction?
It's a
this
nice
type
spreadsheet.
Of organization.
It's
I'm going
nice
to have each week broken down with the standings to show how
individuals
made the
it's
jump.
An excellent job, but I would expect you to record my picks properly. I don't think that's asking too much.
We go back to the audio tape. We'll then determine.
Anyway,
whether or not
I went 5-1, which is pretty good. How'd you do?
Supposedly, I went 5-1 too.
Oh, did you really?
Correct.
Well done, sir.
The lone game I got wrong, Arizona, I had upsetting San Francisco, which looked good. 22-20 game late in the fourth quarter.
With the Cardinals driving, then Ryan Fitzgerald had that fumble. So what's your record now after 5-1?
Let's see. With 5-1, I jumped to. You know what? I've got computer issues here. No, I jumped to 22-15.
Very impressive.
Now,
and after my 5-1 week, where am I?
You would jump to 21-16.
And how did Mr. Dottino do last week?
Dottino went 5-1 as well.
Oh, man.
So he's going to maintain his lead. And Dan, who is a game in front of me, went 4-2, so he will be tied with me.
How did Anita do?
Most likely. No, he'll still actually be a game up on me. Anita did not submit her pick, so we don't really have any record.
So
to a tally for her.
As the pick commissioner, are you going to give her an 0-6?
These
are the type of tough executive decisions that you now have to make, Mr. Spreadsheet.
Well, the fair way to go about it would maybe be 3-3, or perhaps each week that she continually does not submit her picks, we lower the record. So then we go from 2-4 to 1-5 and work our way down to 0-6. That's how I'm going to do. Strike one is 2-4. Strike two, 1-5. Strike three, 0-6. That is the new rule that I'm implementing.
Okay.
If you miss out on your picks, it goes for anybody. This is the first time under my reign since I've taken over as commissioner of these picks that somebody has not submitted the picks. See, this is my philosophy. The email goes out early in the week.
Wednesday, usually.
Okay, and the email went out even earlier because it was a short week with the Bears Thursday game. Because we gave our picks on Tuesday show.
That's correct.
Which we clearly normally do not do.
Right.
We made the extra effort to do the homework, to do the research, to submit our picks. It is not asking much to take some time out of the busy fantasy schedule. The stresses that come with being called the guru. It is not asking too much to provide six selections each and every week. Strike one, 2-4. It happens again, 1-5. After that, we go to 0-6. And then if you do it a fourth time, that's when we obviously reconsider having you replaced in the league. It's as simple as that.
He's like Napoleon.
That's how we go about our business.
Oh, man.
We've got competition to maintain.
Well,
here.
We got to catch Dottino.
Well, Dottino's not running away with things. Let's not, you know, pat him on the back. I know you like to follow that practice in every work of life, but the bottom line is Dottino, he's comfortable. I wouldn't say that he's in cruise control, if that's a fair way to sum it up.
Fair enough.
Yeah, got a lot of weeks to go.
Anything else in the weekend games for me that you found interesting?
Well, the Dallas-Washington game, you know, the Redskins, I thought, in all seriousness, making some strides. RG3 started to run. That read option is becoming a danger again. The Cowboys had to respect that last night.
No, they did. No question about it. But I think Collinsworth made a great point, and he didn't really hammer him on it, but he kind of brought it up in passing a couple times. His throwing mechanics stink. He does not plan and drive on his throws, and I think that's why he's having some of the accuracy problems he's having this year.
Well, he missed Pierre Garçon down the field when he had a perfect pocket.
On the post, on the skinny post. He missed somebody later in the game on an out route about 15 yards down the field. He airmailed it out of bounds, and he's just not very accurate right now, RG3. And that was one of his strengths last year, very accurate passer. He has not been that way this year.
So that's definitely somewhat of an issue. But, like I said, I think based on week one, they're slowly progressing. RG3 has improved. May not look crisp yet, but he's getting more and more to the point of the old RG3 that you need to respect his ability to run again.
Now, Eagles-Cowboys tied for first place in the NFC East at both at 3-3 in a big game. They play each other next week at 1 o'clock. I believe that game is in Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think the Cowboys play two straight home games. I think that game's in Philly. But that's going to be a big game. Whoever wins that will be first place NFC East.
And the Eagles may have now a quarterback controversy.
We'll see if Vic is back next week or not.
Nick Foles has looked pretty good dating back to the second half of the Giants game. And
granted, they play
that.
One of the worst teams in the league this week.
Well, Mike Glennon actually had some success. I know that doesn't say much considering it's the Philadelphia defense. But that was not an easy win for the Philadelphia Eagles.
And
it
the
wasn't
Bucks,
too comfortable.
And the Bucks defense has been good, especially through the
correct.
Air this year.
And they revamped the secondary. By the way, that game is in Philadelphia next week.
Right.
The other notable game, I would say, from this weekend's got to be probably Patriots-Saints. I mean, what a finish.
You thought the Saints had – I thought the Saints had that game won on two separate occasions.
The bad interception. There's just something missing from this New England offense, and every time I think that, then he comes back with that drive.
Well, there is something missing. Good hands.
A lot
you notice on
passes.
That drive, who did he throw it to basically every time on that drive?
Julian
he threw
Edelman.
It to Edelman and then Colley.
Because the only two guys that he trusts.
Yeah,
and Colley just walked in out of nowhere.
I know.
He was on the street a couple
exactly.
of weeks ago.
But at least he knows he's a professional wide receiver, has had success in this league before. The only thing with the concussions.
But how crazy, Tompkins, probably one of the most unreliable guys, the young guys, winds up making the big grab, and then Dobson's also been very up
right.
and down. And you don't have a good tight end at this point because Rob Gronkowski has yet to return.
And I wonder what's going on with that, with Gronkowski. I think that's an interesting story. A lot of people say he's doing an awful lot in practice, but he's just not. He hasn't been cleared by Dr. James Andrews, I guess it is, to play. I don't know if it's his arm, I don't know if it's his back, whatever it is, he just is not ready to play, and apparently guys aren't happy about it because he's doing everything full contact in practice.
They're 5-1. I mean, can you really complain about it? If they were a 2-3 team, you would say Gronkowski's in the mix. That maybe gives us an extra two wins. At this point, I don't see why it hurts them to take the slow approach. Make sure he gets 100%. Listen, he's been injury-plagued each and every season, and it's hurt them because he tends to get hurt week 10 and 11 when they're making a playoff Super Bowl run.
I don't know how those two defenses allow the receiver to get behind them. The Patriots laying the – that's a 3rd and 20, by the way, when the Saints scored that game-leading go-ahead touchdown. And then
Stills.
The Patriots going 80 yards in, what was it, a minute, 20 seconds with zero timeouts?
Blink of an eye.
That's a bad I know these are great quarterbacks and everything, but that's a bad defense by both teams right there.
And they're both good defenses this year.
They have been, yes.
New England and New Orleans. Ryan's really revamped that group. They've looked good. They've gone into the quarterback. You got to give the Saints defense credit.
Well, that's what's really been the difference. Their front four has gotten to the quarterback this year.
Big plays, bad defenses. That's probably the best way to sum up those last two plays for both teams.
Lance, we'll be back with you tomorrow morning.
Indeed.
For Lance Menno, I'm John Schmoke. Good job, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Giants.com. Stay tuned.